is Resurrection Sunday. Is anybody that did not know today is Resurrection Sunday? This right here, man, this is like the Super Bowl of the Christian calendar, right? It's like this is the main event. This is the thing that everybody needs to see, everybody needs to be a part of, that we kind of build up to. And really, all year long, all the teachings, all the things that we preach, they all come back to this. They all come back to the fact that our God is alive and that we are alive in Him. Many of you probably know, but the baseball season just started this past week. It's an exciting time of year. I mean, I was like, this is the greatest weekend ever. We have baseball back. We had a Good Friday service. We've got Resurrection Sunday and then good food after that. And we had a good breakfast this morning. And I love this week, but baseball's back on TV. I love watching the games. I love trying to go to a couple of them in person. You know, I read about the teams and the players. Christy's like, how do you know all this stuff? I'm like, I don't know. I think it's a God gift because I can remember baseball stuff. I can remember stats. Maybe it's not a God gift. Maybe it's too much time reading it. But for some reason, I can remember it, and I read about players and teams, and ultimately, you know, this regular season that is going on right now, what does it really matter if there isn't a World Series at the end? What does the regular season matter if there's not some kind of championship, if there's not something at the end that it's all building up to where there's this big showdown and a champion is crowned, right? That's why we get excited about the regular season, because it's all building up to the final event where a champion is crowned. Listen, Resurrection Sunday is when we remember the fact that in Christianity, in our faith, there was a champion that was crowned on this day. There was a champion that rose from the grave, defeating hell and death and the grave, Satan, his enemy, right? This is an amazing day. It's an amazing event, but it's also, listen, it goes a little bit further than that. Part of why it's so amazing is that it's also a day of crowning his people as champion. Do you believe that today? Do you know that we are champions? We, because of what Christ did, we are victorious. It's not even like a baseball team where it's like when we say we. Like, I mean, when I say we and I talk about the Cubs and I'm like we, I don't really have any part of that, do I? I mean, like, they don't give me any money. They don't give me even any free merchandise or anything like that. When I say we and I kind of associate with them like I'm with them, they're like, dude, you're not with us. You know, give us your money, but you're not with us. When it comes to Christianity and we talk about Jesus being reigning or crowned king and reigning as king, we are literally a part of that. If you have received him as Lord and Savior, you are a champion. Today is the day that you get to celebrate not just that Jesus rose from the grave, but that you are victorious. And if you don't believe it coming into this service, I hope that you do going out. Because I'll tell you what, all the other stuff leading up to this day, it doesn't matter if Jesus wasn't crowned champion, if he's not resurrected. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12 tells us, now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we've testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, then we are of all men the most pitiful. I know I think I share this every single year, but do we realize the importance of the resurrection to our faith, right? We talk about the cross all the time, and the cross is important. But listen, the cross would be really do us no good if there wasn't also the resurrection. Our faith is even worthless without the resurrection. Every person, as Bud shared, has sinned against God. Every person deserves death. That is the penalty for sin. But Jesus, right? Jesus came and he suffered and he died on that cross. He did that to satisfy the wrath of God against our sin. You know, it doesn't make God a bad God. It doesn't make him a mean God that he is angry against sin. He hates sin. God does hate sin. Jesus bore the weight of that on the cross. That satisfied the wrath of God. I don't know about you guys, but I do not want to experience the wrath of God. Does anybody? Okay. I mean, I think about the wrath of some earthly people, and you're like, I would not want to suffer the wrath of that guy or that lady, right? I mean, think about the wrath of God, how terrifying that sounds, and that Jesus bore the weight of that wrath on the cross. In Romans 10, it tells us that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, then we will be saved. We confess with our lips. We confess he's Lord. We say it, that Jesus is master, that Jesus is our God, that Jesus is the authority in our life. But you know what? It takes more than us just speaking it from our lips, right? He goes on to tell us we've got to believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. We got to believe that he's alive. We've got to believe that he's alive, because if he's not alive, how can he rule, right? How can he be Lord? How can he be master? How can he be the man in charge if he was not alive? You can't. It's not just a profession from our lips. We got to believe in our heart that Jesus is alive. Do you know that today? Do you believe that today? Now listen, when I say alive, I mean he's in a real body. Jesus is in a real body, flesh, like ours. However, his is glorified. His is without imperfections. And I can't wait to see what that actually means, because we know he has the holes in his hands. But he is in this glorified body. But I'm saying it's a body like ours, as if one that you can touch. And we see that Thomas did that. Remember, Thomas doubted and he touched him. He's like, feel the holes right here. And Thomas feels him. He touches him. People hugged him and stuff like that when he came back. If we only have hope in the fact that he paid for our sins and that we're going to end up lying in a box in the ground forever, what kind of hope would that be? Because he lives, we will live forever. Every person will be raised. Do you know that? The just and the unjust. Every person will be raised. Jesus will judge them, and some are going to reign with him forever. Hallelujah. Are you one of those? I hope so. Because others will be cast into hell, separated from him forever. This is reality. There's no other option. There's no other path. And the fact that Jesus was raised from the dead, we've got to remember that this shows us. This is proof that the sacrifice was pleasing to God. This is proof that the sinless man that was Jesus Christ that died on that cross, it's proof that the Father said, I accept that as the penalty for all sin, and he is risen. Do you have hope in that Jesus today? I hope so. And the resurrection's critical to our message. Think about what resurrection means. It means to be raised from the dead. I know that's really simple. It's like, duh, that's common sense. But it means to be raised from the dead. Something's got to be dead. Philippians 3, 10 and 11. Paul tells us, he says, that I may know him, Jesus, that I may know Jesus and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. Do you want to know Jesus today? Yes, thank you, Jan. Jan, everybody else, Jan, you can leave. Y'all think you're good. No. Everybody else needs to stay, because You guys need to know Jesus. Do you want to know Jesus today? Right? That's not a salvation call. This is an ongoing process. It wasn't just like, I don't want to answer that because that means I need to be saved. Right? If that's the way you took it, you did better the second time. Do you want to know him? Yes. Paul says that I may know him. No, this is the Greek word ginosko, which means attaining personal knowledge by experience. This isn't just reading about him. This is having personal experience where, you know what? I have encountered him and I know him. You know what? And I'm going to encounter him again and I'm going to know him more. And I'm going to encounter him again and I'm going to know him more. This is what Paul is speaking of. Paul knew Jesus by faith. Right? We know this. We know that he knew Jesus by faith. He's traveling and preaching and teaching. Yet what he says is that I may know him. And I got to wonder if some of the people that were listening to this message were like some of you were just now. We're kind of like, Paul doesn't know him? If he doesn't, why are we listening to Paul? But it's not that he didn't know him. It's that he wants to know him more. He wants to have this encounter with him. And he wants to have that same kind of encounter, that same kind of relationship with the power of his resurrection. Listen, I'm going to tell you, this is important. It's like if you know Jesus, that is great. But you have to know the power of his resurrection. You have to know that it's even way more than the fact that he has risen from the dead. It's the fact that we are alive in Christ. It's the fact that we have a great hope, not just that he lives forevermore, but we live forevermore. You know, there's times where I think that we think of the things that Jesus did and we don't really have this awe and this amazement that we really should have if we really could grasp what exactly has happened here. I mean, do you know that Jesus died? Right? I mean, again, to be resurrected, you have to be dead. I think that sometimes we kind of have this kind of attitude like, well, yeah, he was dead, but he's God. And you know, so he knew he was going to be raised from the dead. And kind of like it was all a setup and it wasn't really that big of a deal. I mean, did you hear the way that Bud was describing out of the book of Isaiah what Jesus looked like? I mean, did you hear what he went through, how he suffered, and how he was not even recognizable as a man? I mean, he was dead as dead could be. I mean, this isn't like he was just laying there resting. He was in this tomb, dead, beaten beyond recognition for approximately 3 days. Do you know that the body really starts decaying pretty fast when there's no blood pumping, when there's no more life that is in it? It wasn't as if you would look in there and he looked peaceful and he looked like he was asleep. No one would have thought as they gazed into that tomb, oh, he'll be all right, right? Just 3 days and he'll be just fine, like, he'll just sit up and he'll wake up and he'll be just fine. We think about the apostles and what they were even going through during this process, these couple of days while Jesus was in the tomb. They were filled with doubt. They actually had some fear and they're kind of like, what are we going to do? They weren't really sure what exactly was going on. Even though Jesus said, I'll rise in 3 days. They still were like, did you see him? I mean, imagine being there and like, did you see him? It's not happening, Peter. Like, I don't know what he told you. I know what he told me, but then I know what I saw. And that doesn't really seem like it's really a likely scenario. People were probably weeping and distraught. They were losing hope. And the reason I paint this picture is because we've got to realize how this power, this resurrection power of the Holy Spirit, it's more powerful than even the most hopeless situation. I'm telling you, if we would have seen him on that day, we would not have been filled with hope. But the resurrection power is greater than the most hopeless situation. As dead can be, Tell you what, he still wasn't too dead for the resurrection power of the Spirit of the living God to breathe life into that body, to resurrect him into the fullness, into a glorious body. That's the kind of power that we're talking about today. Do you want to experience the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit? Do you want to know it today? Right? You want to know Jesus? Do you want to know the power of his resurrection by personal experience? We're told that if Jesus is Lord and Savior, then that power's in us. Can you even imagine the fact that that same power that took a man that was not even recognizable, that had laid in a tomb for 3 days, a sealed tomb that no man could enter, the same Spirit that raised that body back to life, the same Spirit dwells in you. I mean, do you really understand the weight of that? There is literally nothing in our lives, not one single thing, that the Holy Spirit cannot resurrect by his power. Nothing. I mean, I'm telling you, if we would have seen Jesus on that day, you would have thought, okay, now there's something the Holy Spirit probably can't do. That seems impossible. But I'll tell you what, there is nothing that is impossible with God. Amen? There's nothing that is impossible with him. Romans 8:11, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. If that Spirit dwells in you. If you're Christ, if you belong to him, that Spirit does dwell in you. But if that Spirit is in you, listen, I'm going to tell you today that there's nothing in your life that is too far gone that he can't reach. There's nothing in your life that's too far gone that he can't reach in and breathe life into and resurrect it to a point where it looks more glorious than what it did before. Listen, I don't know what Jesus looked like. I know that he wasn't just a white guy with a beard and long brown hair. I know that he probably wasn't the most hideous looking guy in the world, but you know what? I don't know what he looked like, but somehow, some way, he has a glorified body that he looked even better after the resurrection. He was perfected in his body after the resurrection. That means that when the Spirit resurrects something, that it can be better. It can be an improvement. It can be glorious after the resurrection. But sometimes we look at something and think there's no way this could ever even be restored to the way that it was. Right? This is a lost cause. There's no way that this possibly can be brought back to where it was. You're right. Maybe it can't, but it can be brought to a place that's even better. It can be brought to a place where you can look at it and think, my goodness, I've never seen this situation in my life look this good before, ever. How did you do it, God? There's nothing that's too far gone. There will be a day where our body will die and be raised to life again. But you know, this doesn't just pertain to our body. Do you know that God can resurrect any part of your life? Any part of your life, no matter what we have been through. There's things in your life that you can look at it and say, that is dead. Right? That is dead. That relationship is dead. That opportunity is dead. That part of me is dead because of something that has happened in my life. We can point to all these things and say that they're dead. But you know what? I say that if you say that it's dead, that God can breathe life into it. I say that if you say that it's dead, that Jesus can say, it may be dead, but it shall live. And it's his breath that breathes that life into it. You think about when Jesus came to Lazarus, right? Lazarus had been dead 4 days. This is the point where there's no coming back, right? In human terms. 4 days, you're toast. It's not even possible for you to come back. That's like, we know for sure hope is gone at 4 days. Jesus shows up. The people there are a little bit frustrated with Jesus, right? They're kind of like, if you only you had been here, right? If only you had been here, you could have done something. You're too late. He stinks now. Like, it's over. Like, I mean, I kind of imagine they're like, what are you even doing here at this point? Like, why did you even show up? Jesus tells them, they say, he will live again. And they're like, yeah, I know. They're the resurrection of the dead. And he's like, no, I'm telling you that he will live again. And he talks to them a little bit about it. And we see Jesus weeping for his friend. We see that he goes to this tomb and he prays. I think we skip that part a lot when we're reading the story because we get a little excited about what Jesus is going to do. But the first thing he does when he gets to that tomb is he prays. He speaks to his Father in heaven. And then he says, Lazarus, come forth. Imagine this scene that he calls this dead man from the tomb. Now I want to tell you a little bit about this story. Lazarus was bound at his hands and his feet. Now, this is not maybe Lazarus wasn't quite dead. 4 days, he smelled bad. He was bound at his hands and his feet. And when Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, it says that he came out. Still bound at his hands and at his feet as the Spirit of the living God entered that tomb and breathed life into that body that somehow, someway, bound at the hands and the feet, he came out. I don't even know what that looks like. It doesn't even make sense in my mind because then Jesus says, untie him. Then he says, break those bands that are holding his feet and holding his hands together and take off those garments of death. You can be dead and tied up, and it's still not enough to stop the resurrection power of the living God. I mean, you consider that he was bound. I mean, I can't even get out of my bed without using my hands, right? He got off of this table, bound at his hands and feet, and comes out. Why? Because it was the power of the Spirit of God moving through that dead body that he said, the dead shall live. I mean, imagine the scene. And then Jesus breaks the bondage off of Lazarus and his life. We think about Jesus in the tomb, like Lazarus had a large stone rolled in front of that opening. There's something a little bit different about Jesus's. His was sealed too. They wanted to make for sure there is no way that someone's going to get in there and pull off this heist, you know, like steal the body and say that he lives. So they sealed it up. They sealed the tomb so it could not be open. And then they had guards outside to make sure no one breaks the seal. This seal, it stood for the authority, right? It was the authority of the land. Like, by the king's authority, it shall not be opened. Like, no one dared override the king's authority on something like that. So this seal stood for authority. These guards stood for protection, right? We're going to protect the king's seal. They weren't worried about protecting Jesus. They were more worried about protecting the king's seal and protecting their own lives. But they stood for protection, kind of an assurance that the seal will not be broken. Can I tell you today that there's no authority that man has that can keep out the power of the Holy Spirit? There's no authority that man has that can keep out the power of the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you there's no protection against God Almighty? There's no assurance that he's not going to come through there, bust that seal wide open, and enter that room and do what he needs to do. There is no assurance. There's no guarantee. He entered that sealed, guarded tomb, and he raised the dead to life. Amen? This is the Spirit of God enters that grave, that tomb that Jesus laid in, and he raised him to life. And that same Spirit dwells in you. Say, he dwells in me. Listen, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. I want to tell you today that he is a conquering spirit. He's a conquering spirit. This means to subdue. It means to win. It means to overcome with force. Right? Kind of we get in this mode again where the Holy Spirit is a gentleman and he moves, right? Last week I talked about how sometimes we want him to come with force, but sometimes he likes to come softly and smoothly and quietly. Well, sometimes we're that way and he wants to come with a conquering force. Sometimes he wants to come and he wants to just bust walls down and force his way in there. We're talking about the Spirit of God that is so powerful that it can overcome death itself. Man, that's a conquering force of the Spirit of God. I don't know what you're facing today. I don't know what you need to have this encounter about, what situation needs radically transformed. Maybe you can think of something in your life right now that's dead. Something that you would declare hopeless. Something that you would declare as though this cannot be done. It is finished. It is over. I want to tell you today that it is no match for the resurrecting power of the Spirit of God. I'll tell you what. There's one thing that is truly dead. One thing. That is sin's power and dominion over the believer in Jesus Christ. It's dead. It's dead. It does not have a hold on you any longer if you are in Christ. It's gone, dead, crushed, destroyed. Jesus overcame the grave, and by his Spirit, so did we. Romans 8:37 tells us, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Yet in all these things, we're more than conquerors. How do you become more than a conqueror? I mean, we're more than conquerors. We're more than victorious. We're more than just overcomers. Through him who loved us in all these things. I'm going to tell you some of the stuff that Paul lists right before this. When he says all these things, he's talking about tribulation. I told Christy the other day, I had no idea that tribulation was going to Aldi on Good Friday. That by the Spirit of God, I made it through that because I wanted to lose my mind in that place that was so busy. All things, tribulations. How many of you have been through some trials in your life? What about distress? Anybody been distressed a time or two? Persecution, people coming against you. Famine. I don't know about that in here, but you've probably been hungry at some point in your life, probably had some struggle. Nakedness, peril, sword. Listen, basically saying anything that you face in your life, everything's going to fall into those categories in some way. And whatever you faced in your life, we are more than conquerors in those things through Christ Jesus who loves us. He goes on to tell us that there's nothing that can separate us from that love. Hallelujah. Man, there's nothing that can come in and break that connection that you have with God. There's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. What are you facing today? What needs resurrecting? What's cast down in your life that needs lifted up? There's no issue that God can't touch. Nothing that's too far gone. No stone he can't roll away. In closing, I want to remind you of this story in Mark chapter 5. There's this woman they talk about with the issue of blood. This woman, we're told, she had suffered with this issue for 12 years. And some of you maybe have dealt with something for 12 years, and it's a long time. This says that she suffered for 12 years. It also goes on to tell us, if you look in Mark chapter 5, and it's also in Luke, basically she spent all that she had trying to get resolution to this medical issue that she had. She had nothing. This woman is sick. She has nothing. And not only had she not gotten better, but she also had gotten worse. Sick, broke, worse, this woman was viewed as unclean, right? She was unclean and she couldn't even go into the temple to worship. In that day, when you're unclean, everything you touched was also unclean. And she shouldn't have been in that crowd on that day. But she was desperate, right? She was desperate for healing in her life. She was desperate for her situation that was as dead as a situation can be. She was desperate for it to be resurrected. She was desperate for the power of God to enter into this hopeless situation. And what did it take? One touch. That's it. It took one touch. One instant of a contact with Jesus. And she was healed, and the word says she was made clean. Hallelujah. And that's an impossible situation, that there is no humanly possible way for her to get out of the situation she was in. Sick, broke, on the decline, and one touch from Jesus. Her life looked like it was over, as good as dead. And then she encountered something. Resurrection power. That's what it was. It wasn't just this man who was walking. It wasn't a man with a magical robe. It was a man that was walking, and he was a carrier already of resurrection power. One touch from resurrection power. Do you know that power today? It's a converting power, right? The Holy Spirit converts our hearts, changes our hearts, changes our lives. No matter what we think, no matter what we feel, it takes one encounter with the resurrection power of the living God that can change the course of our lives. It's that conquering power again. This power of the Holy Spirit, it enforces the victory that Jesus has won. Right? Jesus won on that day when he was crowned as victor. The Holy Spirit enforces that victory in our lives today. It's by the Holy Spirit that we tap into that victory. No matter how outmatched we are, no matter how many times we've lost before, it only takes one encounter with God to gain victory again. Right? Jesus came, my favorite verse, John 10:10, that we may have life and have life more abundantly. Right? He came and he defeated hell, death, and the grave. He came to defeat the works of the enemy. And today, that's what this is all about, that he lives so that we may live. He is victorious so that we may be victorious. He wants us to have abundant life, life that is alive, life that is active and thriving and not hindered by the flesh, but alive in the spirit. We were singing this song earlier about the resurrected King is resurrecting me. And if you think about that, our bodies are dying, right? There's not a person in this room, there's not a person on this earth that their body is not in on the decline, right? It's like some of us can feel it a little more than others. But everybody's body is on the decline. But you know what? If you are in Christ, I want to tell you that your spirit is on the incline. Because he is constantly resurrecting you spiritually. Constantly resurrecting. He's saying, you know what? Nope, you're not hopeless, you're hopeful. You know what? You're not dead, but you're alive. You know what? You're not a loser, but you are a winner. He's constantly resurrecting us spiritually, and our spirit should be on the incline. If you would close your eyes and bow your heads, I just want to say this morning that this power that we talk about, this power, resurrection power, this is dunamis power is the word there. It's the same root word that we get dynamite from. It's something that's explosive. It's something that's powerful. It's something that is unmatched by other things. And it's an achieving power, okay? Dunamis power, the power, resurrecting power, is power that achieves something. It's not just something to talk about. It's not just something that we feel. But listen, I want to tell you today, this is a power of action. This is the power of God. It's an active power. It's one of resurrection. It's one that will cause something that couldn't stand to rise up. It's one that brings change in your life. And today, if you need to experience that power, I want you to stand up and come to the altar. If you need to experience the power of God in whatever area of your life, maybe you don't know Him. Maybe today you're saying, you know what? I've heard of Jesus. I know who He is, but I need to know Him the way that Paul said. I need this encounter with Him. I want you to come down. Maybe that's not you. Maybe you're looking at a situation in your life. Maybe you're saying, I am helpless. Maybe you're saying that there's something in your life that appears to be dead and appears to have no way of victory in your life. And today you need God to put His finger on that. I want you to come down and receive prayer this morning. I'm believing that God Almighty is going to touch some hearts today. But listen, I'm believing that it's not a feeling. I'm believing that it's not going to just give you goosebumps to where you walk out of here feeling good. But I'm believing that it's something that He is going to activate. I believe it's something that a work that He's going to do, because it is an active working power that is going to change your lives. If you would stand in this place. Father, we just ask right now, by Your mighty power, Lord, for each and every heart to be changed. Each and every life in this place, Lord, You know what our needs are. You know what it is that we're desperately in need of. Lord, some of us may not be in this severe issue like the woman with the issue of blood, that we feel like we've got to do whatever it takes to run down to the altar. Some of us, maybe we got things that we think they aren't big enough to come to the altar. And I just pray that those lies of the enemy would be cast down in Jesus' name. Lord, that You know the hairs on our head. Lord, You care so deeply about us. You care about even what we may consider to be the little things, because You want nothing but good for us. And You want us to have abundant life right now today. And so, Lord, we just pray that Your Spirit would be released, that it would be activated in our lives and in a way that we don't currently know. God, that You're a God that You're so powerful and above all things that You can do things that aren't even on our radar. And so today, we ask for that resurrection power to encounter each and every person in this place, that we may leave changed, that conquering power would conquer us. Lord, if we've been putting up that fight, I pray that today be the day that we put our hands down, that we stop resisting, and we let You work in our lives in the way that You desire. Lord, we ask You to do this today, to bring glory to the name of Jesus, the name that is above every other name, our Savior, our Lord, who died on that cross to save us. Then He was resurrected, and He is seated right now today in power and victory at the right hand of the Father in heaven. And today, we will praise Him, for He is good. We love You, Jesus. We praise You. In Jesus' name, amen.